call the meeting to order. A couple of minutes after 9 o'clock, we're going to be going till 9:45 because we have a presentation by Senator Murkowski, a joint session. We do have three bills on the calendar today, but we'll see how far we get. We're joined today by Senator Olson, Senator Egan, and Senator Thomas. The three bills are Senate Bill 203, the Energy Assistance Program and Vouchers, Senate Bill 135, Continuance of Crime Trials, and Senate Bill 140, Bath Salts. So with that, we'll begin with the introduction of the bill by Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and in the respect for the time that we have today due to the joint session, I will be very brief in my explanation and just cover a few areas and then allow my staff to do some a few more of the specifics. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 203. I introduced this legislation in response to the desperation I have been hearing from too many of my constituents. In special order speech on Friday, I described the reality of Fairbanks energy costs, roughly $660 million annually on energy. That's an average of $6,600 for every man, woman, and child in the interior, or in the area of Fairbanks, at least the borough. These costs are crippling the economy of Alaska's second largest city, stifling development and forcing families to start looking and moving south. However, this is not unique to Fairbanks. As I look at the bill and as I look at the costs that are listed in the sheets that you have before you, I can see that you have the same issues and problems in your area. So it's certainly a statewide issue. I've been a consistent supporter of investment in long-term energy solutions like the Wautana Dam, in-state gas line, alternative energy grants, weatherization, and energy efficiency programs. And in the past 6 years that I've been here, our body has taken positive steps towards meeting Alaskans' in-state energy challenge. I remain committed to these programs. However, the projects that promise permanent reductions or even a stabilization of these costs are 5 to 15 years away. And our citizens need a more immediate relief. Our Constitution says that our natural resources should be made available for the maximum use consistent with the public interest. Surely providing Alaskans with some relief from the high cost of the state's own resources serves this purpose. As you already know, a bill that's fairly complex like this one has a fair amount of technical challenges and questions to be answered, so we're working with the affected state agencies and departments to iron out some of those concerns and issues. And as you review the details of the legislation, I encourage members of the committee to share any questions or concerns you may have with me and my staff. Today I look forward to hearing testimony from the public so we can take their comments into account in the refinement process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and now I'll have my staff, Catherine Reardon, walk you quickly through some of the specifics of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Catherine Reardon, please proceed with your description of Senate Bill 203.
Mr. Chair, I am Catherine Reardon, an aide to Senator Joe Thomas. As Senator Thomas said, SB 203 provides Alaskans with energy relief through fuel vouchers this fall and develops a program to help residents deal with high heating costs during the transition to more affordable energy supplies. The first section of SB 203 directs the Alaska Department of Revenue to send a voucher to every adult permanent fund dividend recipient in the fall of 2012, which can be redeemed at the fuel distributor of their choice for either 250 gallons of heating oil, an equivalent amount of natural gas, or 1,500 kilowatt hours of electricity. By providing an equal amount of fuel to each adult, the voucher system accounts for the disparate costs of different fuels and prices in different locations around the state. Renters and others who certify that they do not pay directly for home heating oil, natural gas, or electricity may request the reissuance of their voucher in the name of their landlord or a $250 cash payment. Participation by fuel distributors is voluntary. They must apply to the department to be added to the list of qualified distributors where vouchers may be used. The bill includes hold harmless provisions, although our initial feedback from the Department of Health and Social Services is that there may not be a fiscal note associated with that. There are penalties for fraud, It is the intention that AHFC would administer the reimbursement of claims to distributors. The bill at this point mentions the Department of Revenue, but not AHFC specifically, but that was the intent. The second section of the bill, beginning on page 5, requires the governor to analyze two specific options for energy relief in the longer term, beginning in FY14. The analysis needs to cover a fuel price reduction program, a price buy-down model, and an individual account program, which would be similar to the LIHEAP heating assistance program method of distribution, two people, individuals, utility accounts. The executive branch may also analyze alternatives to those two options before making a recommendation. The analysis and recommendation are due back to the legislature by October 1st of 2012. The program ultimately recommended by the state must meet several requirements. It must correlate the amount of assistance to the local cost of residential heating, taking into consideration the price of fuel and heating degree days in each community, as well as satisfy other requirements designed to ensure an efficient and equitable program. Senate Bill 203 will provide needed relief this year and develop a program to help families in the future. I look forward to working with your offices to address questions and strengthen the bill where necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll let the record reflect that we've been joined sometimes by Senator McGuire and Senator Ellis. Do we have any questions regarding the presentation, the description of the legislation? Seeing none, we will go to public testimony. We have three individuals, one in Fairbanks, one in Nome, and one here in the room. We'll go to Fairbanks first. David Miller with Coal Climate Housing Research. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, this is Dave Miller, and I am Vice Chairman of the Coal Climate Housing Research Center here in Fairbanks, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Thomas, for the opportunity to speak about this bill. I also am a director for our local Home Building Association and for the National Home Building Association. We support Senator Thomas's bill here enthusiastically. He said it really well. Our citizens are really struggling right now. The economy is really tight, and having an opportunity to have some short-term relief for these really high energy costs will be tremendously helpful to our economy. We're working really hard with Coal Climate Housing Research Center to develop long-term sustainable and energy efficient housing for Alaskans. AHFC has supported that, and of course the legislature has been wonderful in supporting that, and so we're working on two fronts. One is the long term, how do we make it so in the future our energy costs for each home are lower than they've ever been, but for right now this bill is just a wonderful starting point to open a dialogue on how do we help our neighbors survive this winter, next winter, and use the resources that we have in this state to help us continue to have our citizens live here in Alaska and be able to enjoy the beauty of this great land. Thank you so much, Senator Thomas, for introducing this bill. We wholeheartedly support it.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, for that testimony. We'll now go to Nome with Walter Rose. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Hello?
Yes.
My name is Walter Rose, and I'm the energy specialist for Kuwerik Incorporated, the regional nonprofit serving 20 tribes in the Bering Strait. Kuwerik supports SB 203 because it provides assistance while evaluating energy relief options for the future. Section 1 proposes immediate assistance. Kuwerik supports this because the cost of energy to heat our homes is high and rising. This has a devastating impact, aggravated by low income and high unemployment on our economically distressed rural residents. Higher energy costs reduce the amount of money available per household for other vital needs and impacts the overall local economy. This winter is particularly difficult. January 2012 was the coldest month on record. At the same time, fuel oil is averaging $6.33 a gallon across the region. Prices over $7 are not uncommon. Section 1 of SB 203 provides relief during an especially challenging year. CoAREC supports Section 2 as well, because it proposes moving towards a program that works best over the long term. Fuel prices will continue to rise, and along with them, transportation and storage costs. Western Alaska will continue to experience long, cold winters. When the state benefits from higher oil prices, rural consumers shouldn't bear the burden. CoAREC supports the passage of SB 203 this session. It provides vital relief now, when we need it, and puts us on the course towards sensible, cost-effective energy relief in the future. On behalf of myself and CoAREC, thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. We'll come to back to the room. We have three individuals here. We'll begin with Mira Kohler and go to Joy Huntington.
Good morning. My name is Mira Kohler, and I am the president and CEO of Alaska Village Electric Cooperative. We serve 54 villages in rural Alaska with electric service. And just yesterday at Commonwealth North, I presented a report on Alaska's energy sustainability, the rural conundrum. And what we're really seeing is that the impact of high cost of energy is just absolutely clobbering our villages. We're starting to see fairly significant out-migration in the villages. Last year, for the first time in AVEC's 42-year history, we actually saw a diminution of the number of residents in our villages of about 600 after you then add back in the 117 individuals that live in Ekwok that we added. So the problem is real. I laud you all on this bill, Senator Thomas and Senator Hoffman and other co-sponsors. It's an elegantly simple bill that brings relief to where it is needed most. It brings relief to all Alaskans who all have energy expenses. I'm very impressed with it. I think that it answers a lot of questions, and I do hope that it's going to get good consideration during this legislative session and that it's going to pass, because if we don't have it in place before this next winter, I really fear for what's going to transpire in rural Alaska. Just this morning, I was hearing on the news that the BP refinery in Washington State had a significant fire, and that refinery is shut down. The cost of fuel has gone up by 20 cents today, and that is just the beginning, and that's going to continue. So we need to do something to staunch the flow now while we work on long-term solutions. So thank you for introducing the bill, and I hope your committee will pass it out.
Thank you for that testimony, Ms. Kohler. Are there questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You talked about the out-migration. I was wondering what kind of default rate or what kind of payment in arrears rate you have out there with the 54 villages that you represent.
Senator Olson, through the chair, we actually have very, very good collection rates. Rural consumers are not deadbeats. They do honor their obligations. The problem is that those obligations are starting to overwhelm them. But as a practical matter, our collection rate is over 99%.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Ms. Kohler. We will now proceed to Joy Huntington, followed by Jim Dodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, distinguished members of the committee. I wanted to thank our senator from Fairbanks. We're very proud of this bill. And for the record, my name is Joy Huntington, and I am the legislative advocate for Tanana Chiefs Conference, which is the intertribal Consortia and the Interior nonprofit. We represent 42 tribes, and that's 40 communities in our region. So proud to speak on behalf of them today. You know, as we all know, this is a major problem in our state, and we all recognize that. We have a doctor at the table, so just to put this in medical terms, we do have a gunshot wound to our chest, basically, in all of these communities, especially in the rural areas. And we do have the ambulance coming. I believe it. We have biomass projects in the interior, and I do see long-term solutions. What we do to stop the bleeding right now, I feel like this bill is a great example of that. So that we're very supportive of SB 203. When it comes to the out-migration that was just mentioned, when I graduated from college, I wanted to bring my education to a village, so I moved to Fort Yukon, and they have some of the highest energy costs in our state. So I moved out there with ideals and wanting to serve the people of the village with my education, and I honestly, as a single person with a pretty good job, I couldn't survive out there, largely due to the energy costs as well. So that I just wanted to mention that. I did have to move back to Fairbanks, and even there it's tough. So I wanted to personally say that I've experienced that in the interior. We just had 16 days in January where it didn't get above 40 below. So for folks to just kind of think about that and what we're facing in the interior, really, and there's the cost of gas in Arctic Village is $10 per gallon. So the impact is of this bill would be huge, especially in those areas, because it's taking into account what the costs are. So I wanted to share that. And for us, we represent urban and rural residents and all the members of our tribal tribes and our tribal consortia. So we very strongly support this, and I just wanted to share my opinions, and we will do what we can to support SB 203. So thank you for this, and I urge you to really look at the crisis we're in and to pass this, and to encourage your fellow senators and representatives to pass it as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony, and we are very proud to work with your father here in the Senate. Are there questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to Jim Dodson here in the Finance Committee room.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jim Dodson. I am president of Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. I am here today to speak on behalf of Senate Bill 203. While this is not legislation that I would typically support, I believe that it is a recognition that we have failed to address the energy costs more than half of Alaskans. I think it's been spoken very eloquently here today of the need for energy relief. And while we work on energy solutions, we seem to be working on regional energy solutions. I believe this legislation is necessary, absolutely necessary, until we address energy for all Alaska, so that we can make Alaskans successful and provide them the opportunity that I believe was envisioned for them under statehood. So I speak in favor and request support for Senate Bill 203. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony. Other questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to back to the net. We have Meyer Nanning, the president of the Association of Village Council Presidents from Bethel. Meyer, please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate. And my name is Myron P. Nanning, Sr. I'm the president of the Association of Village Council Presidents. As of yesterday morning, we had 1,902 applications for low-income home energy assistance requests from our villages. Some of our villages are already facing limiting their fuel supplies in order to be able to try and meet and wait for the upcoming season of fuel delivery. The Association of Village Council Presidents represents 56 villages on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. And on the average, the fuel prices that we have within the region is $6.49, with the highest being in one of our villages at $7.75 per gallon. And if you look at it at 20 gallons at times 7, that's $155 for 20 gallons of fuel. Our people have been asking on a daily basis as to what the status of their energy assistance applications are. We've gotten over 100 calls a day for the last month and a half, and the process that it takes is that we have to put everyone on hold in response to the request for energy assistance. Otherwise, we never would get that energy assistance out to our people. AVCP supports Senate Bill 203. I think it's a relief, but it's temporary. However, I think that we can all work together to look at long-term solutions for our energy needs. And in the state of Alaska that produces oil, it seems unfair that many of our villages have to pay the highest fuel price in the nation. With that, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and we do support Senate Bill 203, and I hope that that will bring relief to many of our people in the villages that surely need it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nanning. Are there any questions? Then we'll move on to the off-net out in Dillingham with the Bristol Bay Native Association. We have Melody Nybeck. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Melody Nybeck, and I'm here today representing the Bristol Bay Native Association. We are a regional nonprofit organization providing services to 31 communities here in Southwest Alaska. We are testifying today in support of Senate Bill 203. I believe you have our letter before you, so my testimony will be very brief. I would like to point out, as other regional entities have, our heating fuel, the average heating fuel price for our region right now is $5.85, and our average electric rate is about 60 cents per kilowatt hour. These are obviously very high prices, and couple that with a very long, protracted, unseasonably cold spell we've had here in Bristol Bay, we would certainly welcome any sort of temporary energy relief. In general, I'd like to testify also that BB&A supports energy assistance programs. We believe they are a very vital part of any energy policy and or energy plan, as they provide an immediate solution to a problem. We also recognize the importance of energy efficiency, energy conservation, and alternative energy policies and programs, with the ultimate goal of helping offset our dependence on fossil fuel, hopefully mitigating the volatility of prices, and hopefully finding a lower energy resource. We have a concern with the legislation. We certainly wouldn't want this to interact negatively or even supplant any of the current existing energy programs. I refer to LIHEAP, ACAP, and PCE as examples. And we also have a recommendation to the second part of the legislation, calling on the governor or the executive branch to analyze and make a recommendation for a program beyond 2012. That recommendation is that we would like to be a part of those discussions with the administration. We'd like to be at the table. We think we bring a valuable perspective. Obviously, we bring a rural perspective. We would also bring a perspective of already administering energy assistance programs with relationships with fuel vendors already. With that, thank you very much, Senator Thomas and Senator Hoffman, for always advocating on behalf and finding solutions for offsetting the high price of fuel. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nybeck, for that testimony. We will move on to Palmer for our last testifier, David Owens. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. My name is David R. Owens. I live in Palmer, Alaska. I'm the owner of Owens Inspection Services. I'm a building inspector and also energy rater. I'm here in support of SB 203. I think it's critical that we help our residents of Alaska with these outrageous fuel prices. Also, I'm very appreciative of the support of the committee to our long-term programs with the rebate program and the weatherization, which are also long-term solutions to the problems we're having, and that is my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, we have requested fiscal notes before we set this bill aside. Senator Thomas, do you have any final comments?
No, I appreciate the people calling in. I think that's great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the folks calling in, and that helps us get a little better perspective from from some of the areas, so that's helpful. And I would want to mention that we do have Senator Ellis as a co-sponsor, Senator Olson and Senator Egan are all co-sponsors of the bill, as well as your help and your co-sponsorship is greatly appreciated as we look forward to moving this bill forward and having the administration evaluate a longer-term approach to energy.
Just some notes. We'll get the current community condition Alaska fuel price reports to everybody that was published in January of this year. But there have been market increases across the state of Alaska in the price of fuel. Just to note, from last year to this year, the statewide average has gone from $4.98 to $5.71. We've seen increases in southwestern Alaska of 21% increase in price of fuel, and in western Alaska, 21%. We've seen 12% in southeast. So there have been market increases. At the same time, that there's been a double whammy in that the heating degree days in several areas of the state have increased. So we've seen a lot colder winter. The heating degree days in western Alaska went up by 15.7%. We've seen in northwestern Alaska, specifically in Nome, they've seen an increased degree days of 23.8%. So not only are they paying a higher price for their fuel, they're having to use way more fuel than last year. So that is a double whammy for many of Alaskans. And I thank Senator Thomas for that. We'll now move on to the next piece of legislation, Senate Bill 135 by Senator French regarding continuous in criminal trials. Senator French, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good
morning.
This
is the first hearing on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. My name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. With me is Lila Hobbs. She is the staffer in my office assigned to this bill. SB 135 is really designed to put some teeth into a constitutional amendment that was passed in Alaska by the legislature and the people in conjunction in 1994, adding to the Constitution the rights of victims in criminal cases. In that constitutional amendment, the people set forth that victims should have the right to a timely disposition of their case. And since that amendment was passed in 1994, there's really been no sort of fleshing out of what that means in real life. So this bill is designed to do that, to put some teeth into that constitutional amendment, to put some statutory teeth into it. It's really designed to help address a problem that happens in typically the most serious of criminal cases, where you've got a murder, a rape, or some other heinous crime like that, and you get repeated delays by the defense that pushes the trial date off sometimes for months or even years. And those repeated delays wear on a victim. They cause great stress for a victim. I know this personally from my work as a prosecuting attorney. And it also impinges on the availability of witnesses, the availability of evidence, and so forth. So the idea is to make the court stop and think about and address the impact that a continuance will have on the victim when that moment happens in court. It's a pretty simple idea, but I think it'll be a nice step in the right direction for crime victims. There's wide support for the idea, as you can see from the bill packet. We've got letters of support from Victims for Justice, letters of support from the Office of Victims' Rights, for the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sex Assault, from Standing Together Against Rape, from Karen Foster specifically, who is the mother of Bonnie Craig, who endured a four-year delay before the murder case against Kenneth Dion went to trial, and also from the Alaska peace officers. I can walk through the bill in step by step if you wish, Mr. Chairman, but I can just say that really it's about giving that victim a moment in court when there's a substantial delay, which we've defined as being, I think, a month in a felony case and a month in a misdemeanor case and a 3 months in a felony case, and to just make sure that the court is taking cognizance of that delay. We, in response to concerns we've gotten from the Department of Law, sort of refined the bill, made it narrower, made it more defined, and I think that addressed most of the concerns that the Department of Law came to us with in the Judiciary Committee.
I think we'll forego the details. Are there any specific questions that committee members may have? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at it as a defendant, especially those from rural Alaska, where logistically it's very difficult to go ahead and get evidence together, how do we make sure that due process is served, more specifically that everybody is innocent until proven guilty? And I see it very difficult for those people out in rural Alaska to try and get a fair trial.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a very perceptive question, and it strikes at sort of the balance or the tension in the Constitution right now between a defendant's right to a speedy trial and a victim's right to a timely disposition. Those two phrases are somewhat separate, somewhat distinct, and in any sort of clash between those two ideas, I think the defendant is going to win. That's sort of the short legal answer. The defendant is the person who's going to go to jail at the end of the process, and so that person's liberty interest is going to trump the victim's right to a timely disposition. So, you know, if a judge, you know, sort of is confronted with a motion for a continuance, and the defendant says, "I need to get more evidence tested. I need to get a witness here to town." That motion is going to win. But at the same time, the judge is going to have to stop and think about the impact on the victim and maybe shape that order a little bit to take into account the impact of the delay.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further questions? If not, we'll proceed to public testimony. We have one person online, and then we'll come to the room to have Nancy Mead from the Alaska Court System. We have Victor Kester from Anchorage online. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Victor Kester. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Office of Victims' Rights. It is a privilege and honor to testify today in support of Senate Bill 135. The OBR is a legislative agency dedicated to representing Alaska crime victims in Alaska courts and advancing the interests of crime victims. Senate Bill 135 amends the Alaska statutes to strengthen notification standards regarding requests for continuances in criminal trials that delay prosecution of a case involving a crime victim. Senate Bill 135 amends Criminal Rule 45 to fortify a crime victim's right to address the court and for the court to consider the crime victim's perspective before issuing an order based on a motion for continuance. Both components of Senate Bill 135 advance and protect a crime victim's interest and aligned with the Alaska Constitution, specifically Article 1, Section 24. First, the proposed legislation furthers the spirit of the Constitution, which mandates that a crime victim be treated with dignity, respect, and fairness. Second, the proposed legislation clarifies and or further defines the Alaska constitutional right of a crime victim to a timely disposition of a case. Fundamentally, Senate Bill 135 amplifies the crime victim's voice before the court and other criminal justice agencies regarding delay in the criminal justice process. I believe strongly that the administration of justice is improved when a crime victim's voice is not only heard, but also considered in the criminal justice process. I believe Senate Bill 135 will help crime victims by providing a mechanism to prove access to their constitutional rights, to a timely disposition of a case, and realize dignity, respect, and fairness in accord with the Alaska Constitution. Senate Bill 135 stands to eliminate unnecessary, unwarranted, and inappropriate delay in the criminal justice process that often results in undue hardship and emotional and psychological injury to crime victims trying to cope with the lengthy prosecution of a criminal case. The OVR stands ready and dedicated to serving the Alaska legislature and helping Alaska crime victims. The OVR seeks to work with criminal justice agencies and other governmental entities in the spirit of cooperation and collaboration to help victims and promote the interest of justice. Senate Bill 135 strengthens and adds specificity to the law regarding the notification requirement and amplifies crime victims' voice regarding continuances before the court. Senate Bill 135 adds definition, specificity, and clarity to a crime victim's right to a timely disposition of a case in accord with Article 1, Section 24 of the Alaska Constitution. Again, it is a privilege and honor to testify before the respected and honorable chair and members of this committee in support of Senate Bill 135. I am grateful for this opportunity to support this balanced legislation that stands to directly improve the experience of crime victims in Alaska courts. Thank you.
Thank you for that testimony. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we did have one individual from the court system for respond to any questions members might have. We do have four fiscal notes on the bill, one zero fiscal note from the Department of Corrections, two indeterminate fiscal notes from the Department of Administration, and one fiscal note from the Department of Law for $144,400 in general funds, requesting a new position. With that, does the sponsor have any closing comments on the bill before we set this bill aside?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe just 1 minute on the fiscal note, if I could.
1 minute.
Just take a minute. Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, this bill was pre-filed on January 6th. We discussed it with the Department of Law before filing it. We got an indeterminate fiscal note with them back on the 24th of January. Since that time, we narrowed the bill, made it more focused, less broad-based, and you know, provided teeth to the definitions. And in response, we now get a fiscal note for $144,000. I just feel like it was a... anyway, I'm just not sure it's totally justified, given that we made the bill more focused, more narrow, and better defined in response to some of their concerns. And to go from an indeterminate fiscal note to $144,000, I think is unwarranted. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll set this bill aside, and we have one more piece of legislation before us. Do we have someone from Senator Meyer's office on Senate Bill 140 regarding bath salt? Please identify yourself for the record. This is the first hearing, and proceed with your testimony.
For the record, my name is Christine Marisigan, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer. I'm here to present Senate Bill 140. Senate Bill 140 would basically add to synthetic cathinones to the list of controlled substances 2A.
Any questions on the legislation? We do have four fiscal notes in your packet, one zero fiscal note from the Department of Law, three indeterminate fiscal notes from the Departments of Administration, Corrections, and Public Safety, and we do have one person online. We are running very short, so please identify yourself for the record. Louisa Catherdale from Anchorage, can you please be very precise, because the bells have rung and we need to get to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for this opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Louisa Catherdale. I've been an epidemiologist with this Division of Public Health for over 10 years. And in summary, public health considers the abuse of synthetic cathinones through bath salts to be a growing threat. These products are poorly regulated, widely available, and may contain different potent psychoactive compounds, may create different and dangerous side effects, and by all accounts are gaining in popularity. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions? If not, that concludes the public testimony on this bill. We'll set the bill aside. Tomorrow we have a meeting at 9 a.m. There are four bills on the calendar. Senate Bill 27, flame retardants. Senate Bill 136, income tax credits for employing a veteran. Senate Bill 68, commercial fishing and agricultural bank. And Senate Bill 144, state immunization programs. With that, we are adjourned.